Okay. Well, hello. This is Frank Peters, and you're listening to CDM Cyclist. Thanks for tuning in once again. Well, today, this morning, I had it on my calendar, make plans, you know, airfare, hotel, for the National Bike Summit in Washington, D.C. in March 4 through 6. I attended, it'll be 2 years ago. It was cold back there. This year, I'm hoping for a little bit of a spring thaw. Well, it'll still be winter, won't it? Well, maybe global warming will come to the rescue for me that weekend, followed by a few days. I'm hoping to get on a bicycle and reconnect with some of my bicycle advocacy friends from across the country. Going to be fun. One thing in particular, this year there's a brand new component the day before the summit on Monday. The National Women's Bicycling Forum is on Monday, March 4th. And Robin Bailenga is on the board of advisors for that event. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Robin Bailenga.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for joining me on the show today. It's Carolyn Schepansky who put the two of us together. How do you know Carolyn?
Carolyn and I met actually over the phone several times in talking about the National Women's Bike Summit that was being held in Southern California. And we had the pleasure of meeting in person at Interbike this year. I co-created or co-founded a group for women in the business of cycling called Spokeswomen. And we were fortunate enough to get the league to be one of our sponsors on the showroom floor at Interbike. And we had the Outdoor Industry Women's Coalition assist us in sponsoring an event for women in the industry to network and support one another and sort of find our place in the industry. And so Carolyn and I actually had the chance to shake hands that day. We really enjoy working together.
Yeah. Terrific. Now, there's a lot of emphasis on women and bicycles. Why the emphasis, in your opinion, Robin?
Well, I think that for women in cycling, and I've said this several times before, that we are sort of where men were in the 70s. Remember that movie Breaking Away?
And yeah.
People started paying more attention to cycling, and I was a big biker when I was a kid, and I never raced or anything, but just was always on my bicycle. But I think that our time, it's sort of our turn. Men have been given a lot of emphasis with, you know, all this Lance Armstrong stuff and the Tour de France, and that's all well and good. And I support the races and I support the men, but we're different, and we want to ride too.
So you have your own shop. Tell me about that. What was it like setting up your own bike shop, Robin?
Well, actually, I have a unique shop. I opened the first women-specific bike shop in the country. So my shop is it's very women-focused, and it's set up completely differently than a quote-unquote traditional bike shop. Mm-hmm. I try to, my goal and my vision was to have a boutique themed shop with crystal chandeliers and to be a valid, respected bike shop with a full staff and maintenance and bike sales.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, the crystal chandeliers, there's got to be a story behind that.
Well, it was just a vision of mine. I think that some of my favorite boutiques that are kind of shabby chic that have the big crystal chandelier in the center just make me feel they provide a certain ambiance, which I liked. And I thought it would be kind of cool to mix that elegant when you're trying to sell a hard good like a bike or a bike or a derailleur or whatever. Mm-hmm. So some of it was for the ambiance. Some of it was kind of tongue in cheek for me.
Uh-huh.
But, the day I moved in, actually, I joke that I opened with such little money that I threw this thing together with duct tape, super glue, and a prayer. But my next door neighbor has this beautiful, and I'm in downtown Greenville, South Carolina, and the woman that's next door to me owns this beautiful decorating store and has all these glorious vintage chandeliers. She and her assistant walked in the day before I opened, and she had this gorgeous chandelier in her arms, and she said, "Would you like this for your shop?" And I think I got big tears in my eyes because she had no idea that that was my dream, was to have that chandelier.
Well, that's very friendly, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah, it was great. It was great. I borrowed it, but
mm-hmm. Now, when you're the first, you know, women's bike shop in the country, you get visitors from out of state? Do people come from long distance to see you?
Oh, yes. Yes. We have visitors that come in from all, I have friends in California now and overseas, and we've been really lucky. We've gotten a lot of press, and one particular magazine article was in the Southwest Airlines Spirit magazine, and it was when Southwest opened the market in Greenville, and they did an article, and we were mentioned in the article, and it happened to coincide with Bike Month and a big race that we had here. So there were bikers coming in from all over the country, all over the world to race, and so we got a lot of unexpected visitors from that. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that sounds like great timing, huh?
Mm-hmm. And actually, coincidentally, my first job out of college, I was a flight attendant for Southwest.
So oh, no kidding. Oh, yeah, that's cosmic, huh?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, going from that level to actually being written in the magazine was really cool.
Oh, that's great. Now, Robin, there is quite a bit of press about you out there, and I've taken a look at some of it. You know, my favorite aspect of your story is you talk about how you were laid off for and out of work for, was it a year?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was laid off twice.
Laid off twice, yeah. Let's go back there and visit that because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur myself and I've started several companies, but my most successful company I started after I was laid off for about a year too, so that's humbling, isn't it?
Oh, you can't imagine. I had been, I had gone through a couple of life changes, and one of them was a divorce, and I had three small children, and I went back to work for this company. I was traveling, and the company was sold, and I was laid off, and it was almost a blessing because I was so tired, and I went to go work at the bike shop. At that time, it was before the bottom had fallen out of the economy, and I was just taking some time to rejuvenate, ride my bike, do something I love for a little bit until I could really figure out what I wanted to do, and fell in love with it. And that's kind of when I came up with my idea. You know, just the traditional bike shop doesn't typically appeal to women. And mm-hmm. I was discovering small little companies that were catering specifically to women in apparel, and little things were happening at that time. Not nearly the amount that, you know, we're rapidly growing as an industry, being aware of women. But mm-hmm. back in 2008, I believe it was, it was just a side thought, a side note, basically. Anyway, I went back to work full time because I had my children to take care of. And when I got laid off again, it was a full year, and it finally, my back was against a wall, and I had my aha moment and said, you know, now's the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's the difference? I've got this little bit of money left and I can either give it a shot or it's going to be gone anyway. And I have a master's degree, so it was really humbling. I think the only job I got offered, and you'll get a kick out of this, was at a internet communications, you know, one of the internet companies in our town. Mm-hmm. To sell to homes. I mean, I could imagine knocking on doors for a mere fraction of something that I had made right out of graduate school. And then when I went to go interview and do their online test, their internet was down. And I'm like, really? So, yeah.
So that back against the wall syndrome you described, I can relate to that. That's a good motivation for an entrepreneur starting your own business, huh?
It really is life-changing because, you lose the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, not, I don't want to say how alone you are in this world, but you've got to make your own place in this world. And nobody else is going to make it for you. So I found a friend that had opened several restaurants, and that had nothing to do, you know, with my business model, but a business model is a business model. So I spent some time with him, and he was gracious enough to help me put my pro forma together. And I ended up buying apparel and selling it out of the back of my car at races.
Oh.
And I ended up doing so well that it made sense. I felt like, you know, maybe I really am onto something here. I pitched the idea to Michelin Tire Company. They have a development program for entrepreneurs. It's a job creation program.
Mm-hmm.
And I pitched the idea to them. And at the time, I was looking for data, and I called the League and Bikes Belong and several other organizations. That Leisure Trends was very, very helpful in gathering some data, but nobody was taking data on women in cycling. So I basically went and I said, either this is the greatest idea I've ever had, or it really is bad. There's nobody else out there doing this. So
that's great. I love that story. I love the reference to selling apparel out of the trunk of your car. That's what I say I did in my early years. I was selling software out of the trunk of my car, one copy at a time.
I can
relate. Yeah.
I tell you what, it gets better. About a year into my business, my landlord chose to replace the roof of my building and used some faulty contractors that weren't bonded, licensed, or insured.
Oh, boy.
And we ended up completely flooding, lost my shop in about 20 minutes in a heavy rainstorm. And I started YouTubing. And when we were closed for almost 6 weeks. And I really wanted to keep my name out in front of my customers, because we had built, you know, we're only in business for a year. So we'd built 1 year of momentum, and I didn't want people to think I was going anywhere. So we actually took a YouTube video with all of my stuff in the back of my car. And I said, so here's where I started. And I'm back in the car again. So if you need anything, call me.
And how did that work out? You get a nice response from your customers?
Yeah, we really did. I mean, it was one of the hardest things I've ever been through, but we had a huge response when we reopened, and people were very gracious, and you know, they would come and order things from me knowing that it would be a while, and you know, we didn't have a place to work out of for a while. So it turned out okay. I don't want to do it again, but you know, lesson learned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's talk about Greenville. What's it like cycling around Greenville?
Oh, Greenville's a beautiful town. It's rolling hills. It's very moderate temperatures. I mean, we've got a 65-degree day today. That's atypical, actually, for December. But George Hincappy, I don't know if you know his name. He was on several of the winning teams at Tour de France, mm-hmm. and a big, big cyclist. He actually has his corporate offices here for his manufacturing of apparel. And because of his presence in the U.S. Pro Championship was here for 7 years, I think. And that created a lot of buzz around the road cycling. There's a lot of good mountain biking here. And mm-hmm. our mayor has been wonderful in trying to build a healthy wellness type environment in our community. We have a new Rails to Trail called the Swamp Rabbit Trail, which is sponsored by our hospital and the Greenville Recreation Department. And it has put more people on bikes. I don't believe people understand the economic impact of putting a trail like that in.
Yeah, yeah. How so? What do you see as the economic impact, Robin?
Well, first of all, when I first got out of grad school, I sold chemicals. And that was before NAFTA. And so there were all these mills and chemical plants all up and down, you know, in sort of the neglected area of town. After NAFTA, all those jobs were lost. And these plants quickly closed down, and they were horrible eyesores. Well, the rails, clearly, because most of mm-hmm. those chemicals were shipped on by train, that rail to trail went right through some of those just awful neighborhoods that had been so torn up by those plants leaving. And it's created an economic boom town in a town north to us that was just sleepy. And people will park their cars downtown, ride their bikes up to Furman University, Travelers Rest, have food, ice cream, drinks, whatever, come back down. It's created people that normally would be afraid to ride on the roads or riding on the trail, sure. Family activities. I mean, it's just endless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You paint a nice picture of that, Robin. Now let's talk about customers. A woman comes into the shop. Any common characteristics? Are they looking for a road bike? Or are they not sure? Or
well,
all of the above?
It's interesting because I wanted, and my goal is to become the go-to place for women, no matter what genre of cycling that they'd like to be in. Because of the ambiance of the store, I think that it has leaned more towards the lifestyle. So I'm working on remodeling, refocusing that vision a little bit so that people do understand that I'm a road bike rider and I'm a triathlete. So, you know, I take that love very seriously and I want to get other people on road bikes, mountain bikes, the same thing. A lot of what we see here are women and men. I'll outfit whole families in bikes, but mainly we pride ourselves on our customer service. I've got an incredible mechanic, a female mechanic, uh-huh. who's not only good with her wrenches, but she's good with the customers, which is a rare find in this industry.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I'm very, very lucky. So we kind of consider ourselves a family environment. We like to encourage, empower, inspire, and we take a lot of time with our customers, and a lot of them have become good friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's say women listening to us this morning, Robin, what advice might you have for a woman that's thinking about getting on a bike but hasn't made that leap yet? What might you say to someone like that?
Well, when I sit down with a customer when they first come in, I like to take a lot of time and find out what our goals are, because there are so many different kinds of bikes, it can be daunting.
Yeah.
And so I try to take that element away by just, you know, finding out basically who's she going to be riding with, what kind of bikes are they riding, because it's so much easier if you're equally yoked, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
When you're riding with somebody, and if the goal is just fitness or if the goal is leisure, that's two different bikes. If the goal is commuting or riding with your children or, you know, hey, I want to do a triathlon someday. Well, you know, then we're going to have different conversations.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Are many people in Greenville like running errands with their bikes and those kind of utility kinds of activities?
We're seeing it more and more with the trail that we have here. A lot of redevelopment. Some of these mills are being turned into condos. So right along the trail makes sense. We have a beautiful downtown, easy to ride your bike to. They're putting in more and more bike lanes. I wish they'd put the bike lanes inside of the parking, because sometimes we feel like we're just the barrier for the open doors.
Yeah, right, right.
But at least we have the bike lanes now, and we're getting more and more. But I think it's kind of one of those field of dreams things. So I brought in a lot of commuter accessories, the panniers, the baskets, the unusual, the unique. That's a little risky as a business owner. We certainly have a long way to go for commuters. I'm trying to live by example and commute when I can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How far is your commute?
Oh, it's so close. It's only like a mile and a half.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a good way to get your heart started, though.
Too, oh, yeah. Huh?
Robin, you're going to be in Washington. There's a Women Bike Conference coming up the day before the big National Bike Summit.
Absolutely. I'm actually going to be on the panel speaking, and I'm so
terrific.
Excited.
Terrific.
Yeah, very excited.
All right. Well, we'll have details about that on the blog. So, Robin, that'll be a chance for you and I to meet in person. I'm going to be at the Women Bike event. I'm going to be a sponsor as well.
Oh, wonderful. I'll look forward to meeting you in person.
Well, Robin, you've got a great story. Thanks for sharing it with me this morning.
Oh, thank you so much. And hopefully you'll see Pedal Chic growing in the future.
Well, good luck to you, Robin.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're back in the studio, and I look forward to meeting Robin in Washington in March for the National Bike Summit. Come by the website, cdmcyclist.com, and of course, I'll have links to the summit and registration. Now's the time to make your plans. It's a fun few days in the city that I saw an article just the past few days, Washington, D.C., with the best bike share in the nation. Well, I'm going to check that out personally. Come by the website. I've got news of local issues here in Newport Beach. Of course, the CDM in CDM Cyclist stands for Corona Del Mar. It's a neighborhood within the city of Newport Beach. And just Saturday, just a few days ago, over the weekend, the city council met for a all-morning planning session to set goals for the new year, 2013. I knew there were going to be some bicycle issues on there. I didn't know what to hope for. The other thing I knew was that the bicycle issues were going to be the very last items discussed that morning. But I came early because they promised coffee and other goodies, and they delivered. And more than just coffee and pastries, City Council unanimous in its support for a bicycle master plan for the city of Newport Beach. You'll see my write-up about it at CDM Cyclist. So come on by, hit the PayPal donate button while you're visiting too, please. I'd appreciate that. Well, that's it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening and good night.